You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. When you think of Kern County's economy, you probably think of two things, oil and ag. But there's another big player in the county's economy, and that's aerospace. County economic development officials estimate that around 20,000 people are employed in the sector. One of the fastest growing areas has been in the field of commercial spaceflight. The Mojave Air and Spaceport in eastern Kern County is home to a number of startups specializing in the field. But last year, that tight-knit community was rocked by tragedy when Virgin Galactic's Spaceship Two crashed, killing co-pilot Mike Alsbury and seriously injuring another co-pilot. Now, 3 months after that accident, the investigation goes on, and officials are looking at what the future of commercial spaceflight is in the county. Nationally, commercial spaceflight remains a top topic, and we have that as our discussion for the remainder of our program today. Joining us now on the phone, we have Leonard David of Space.com. He's been covering this commercial space industry for more than five decades, in fact, beyond the commercial space industry, but space overall. He's the former director of research for the National Commission on Space and is the co-author of Buzz Aldrin's 2013 book, Mission to Mars, My Vision for Space Exploration, published by National Geographic. Leonard, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
For those of us who may have forgotten some of the details of the situation that happened on October 31st in the Mojave Desert, what exactly do we know about the crash of Spaceship Two?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tragic catastrophe for the Spaceship Two. And as you said, one of the pilots was killed and the other basically was ejected out of the whole structure because it just disintegrated around them. And luckily, he was able to unbuckle himself and get a parachute out. And he'll be a main contributor to finding out exactly what did happen. And as you said, the National Transportation Safety Board is still putting all their information together, and they got a lot of video, onboard video from the ground. So the full story hasn't been told, but I think early on the investigative board suggested that one of the pilots accidentally deployed a feathering system on the back end of the space plane at a high Mach number, over Mach 1, and that was the contributing factor to the disintegration of the vehicle. So it was pilot error right now, but we'll see where the full report comes out.
Now, Virgin Galactic, of course, has very ambitious plans for commercial space flight. In fact, a number of people have put deposits down to eventually go into suborbital flight on their Spaceship Two machine. But explain exactly where in the process they are. Spaceship Two was still in testing when this happened, aside from the setbacks that obviously Virgin Galactic and Scaled Composites are facing now. Where in the process were they of bringing this?
Well, you know, they were really deep into a test program that was leading to potentially a first commercial flight of six passengers and two pilots on the spaceship departing out of New Mexico's Spaceport America that's been a purpose-built spaceport to handle this kind of operations. There's a setback not only for Virgin Galactic, but you have a ripple effect here of a structure that was built in New Mexico to handle these flights, so they're on hold as well. Now, I think on a one extra note here is that the Spaceship Two follow-on vehicle, another one, is pretty much done or being outfitted in Mojave. So I think if everything is suggestive, like the Virgin Galactic folks say, they may be back in the air with this new spaceship.
Now, certainly the world of space exploration and aerospace in general is one that on the testing side is fraught with danger. Many have lost their lives advancing the scientific knowledge of spaceflight and aerospace over the years. This certainly is no exception to that. But I've also heard some people maybe a little critical of the approach that Sir Richard Branson and his company have taken and maybe being a little too brash or too bold. Is that something that you have heard in the community? How is Virgin Galactic viewed by its peers in the space world right now? And is there any justification to criticism that they might be going on too bold a path?
I personally don't feel that. I think this kind of activity has to happen in terms of suborbital flight that would lead to passenger orbital flight. I think we're seeing something very common in test flying of vehicles early on, whether it's the Wright brothers or it's Spaceship 2 and Spaceship 3 and 4 and 5, whatever else is going to come down the line. I just see this as a natural progression of aerospace capability, and not only do you see it in the United States and with Branson's support in the UK, but other vehicles are being built. So I personally feel like we're seeing something important happen. Tragedy is part of exploration, and I don't see any turning back on that dream of all of us having ticket in hand and getting into suborbital flight and then eventually into Earth orbit.
Again, we're talking with Leonard David of Space.com. He's been covering the space industry for more than five decades, and he has written on the aftermath of the Virgin Galactic Spaceship 2 crash in Kern County back in last October. Leonard, you mentioned that the NTSB is investigating this accident. I understand that's a first for the space industry. Usually that's outside of the NTSB's jurisdiction. Talk about that. What does that mean for maybe other the situations in the future? Are we going to see more regulation from the civil side on space flight and space testing?
Well, I think you hit it right on the nail there. I think there one worry is that this is the first time the NTSB is involved in a space plane accident. There will be some follow-up rules and regulations, I'm sure, and then there are people that worry, can you over-certify things? Can you make it too onerous for companies to put their money down to make these kind of spaced vehicles? So I think that's the story that's still to come, and what ripple effect it will have on business plans and investors and that kind of thing, we'll have to see. I will say, early on, when I started covering these kind of flights, and again, we go back to Spaceship One, the worry early on was that there would be an accident too soon, that the industry wasn't moving far enough down the road, and that an accident may, perturb the whole financial system and technical system, and you have so many regulations that you might cripple an emerging industry. So I think that is a story to watch, and hopefully with the regaining of flight momentum and on a new spaceship too, perhaps that momentum will keep going.
Now, when Spaceship One won the X Prize, almost 10 years ago now, Virgin Galactic got a lot of attention. Certainly, it's the one commercial space flight business that many Americans might be able to name off the top of their head, but there's many others in this field. Where do they stand? Give us a sense of what the overall field looks like, and how does Virgin Galactic and their operations fit into the other companies and businesses that are out there pursuing this same sort of a goal?
Well, you have right at Mojave is one of the premier design teams called X-Core Aerospace. They, too, are developing a suborbital craft. There's a Swiss firm that's involved. There's always rumors about the Russians even looking at a design of a suborbital passenger-carrying vehicle. So they're out there, and then you have groups like SpaceX, who are already contributing via NASA, building orbital vehicles, the Dragon. And so it's kind of an interesting moment in history, and it's somewhat piecemeal because you don't get a full coverage of all the things. I try my best to keep track of all of them, but they're all entrepreneurs. Some of them are very quiet. Some people that I know of don't want to talk about what they're doing because it will be competitive. I think they do see profit margin in launching people into space. So, again, we'll see how this unfolds. But I don't see magic here. It's really testing, keep the safety as high as possible. Yes, there'll be accidents. All through aviation history, there was lots of accidents. But we'll get there, and I just think we're seeing something very common to early aviation, and I don't have $250,000 for a ticket that Branson wants, but maybe sometime in the future the price will drop down, and we'll all be able to participate.
We're joined on the phone now by Stuart Witt as well, joining our conversation. He is the CEO of the Mojave Air and Spaceport, where Scaled Composites and Virgin Galactic had their operation. Stuart, welcome to our program. What is the mood like now at the spaceport following that accident? Certainly, it's not the first time in the desert there that a test pilot has unfortunately lost life in pursuit of scientific knowledge and advancing spaceflight. But what is the mood in the community right now?
Well, good morning, Joe and Leonard. Always good to share some time with Leonard. The mood in Mojave. The mood in Mojave hasn't, frankly, changed much. I can tell you that none of us really remember November. We had two fatal mishaps in October, one aviation and test-related, one space and test-related, and it was very somber. It was just very, very difficult November. Come the 1st of December, through the holidays, I saw activity pick up significantly. Now that we're into January, people are off and running. We've been doing rocket testing, static and free flights with some of the other tenants. The number of endo-atmospheric tests that have occurred in the last 2 weeks. So as somber as November was, it's clear that the entrepreneurial companies have picked right up and they're moving forward.
A moment ago, I asked Leonard about any concern in the industry that there might be new regulation coming. The NTSB is investigating this latest incident with Virgin Galactic. Is that a concern that there might be efforts to protect lives, but that also could hamper the risk-taking and development that has characterized the industry for over 50 years?
I think we are all concerned that our nation's absolute obsession for absolute safety at all costs and how it has stifled Western society in the last 50 years has the ability to overreach into this industry. But I'm driven by the 100-year trend of aviation and the internal spirit of humans, that we are really explorers. And when I take a step back and say, what has my industry done for human travel? Well, I'll tell you and your listeners that 150 years ago, the average human moved at the speed of their feet. And if it weren't for two bicycle mechanics with no credentials taking humans into flight and then powered flight and then staying with it as a career and creating an industry that within 60 years created the safest form of human transportation that humans had ever enjoyed, and that was at 0.82 Mach in air-conditioned pressurized comfort, that is an enormous leap. because for 50,000 years we moved at the speed of our feet, and then over the course of 60 to 70 years we made a leap to 0.82 Mach. I think what you're seeing is a natural extension of that into suborbital space travel and hopefully point-to-point. But there's always the risk the government will overreach and try to control us. In fact, I saw it immediately where people said, my God, that's unsafe. We should stop that. And I'm just thinking, wouldn't that have been a shame if there would have been government regulators at St. Louis in 1849 saying, don't go west because there's savages out there and it's dangerous. Or don't pursue your dreams. Or don't fly airplanes because it's dangerous. We don't know what we can create until we have entrepreneurs willing to invest means against ideas and take those risks. And frankly, they play a game called Let's Bet the Company every day in order for humanity to have breakthroughs.
Again, we're talking with Stuart Witt, a CEO of the Mojave Air and Spaceport in eastern Kern County. Also, Leonard David, a journalist with Space.com, talking about the future of the commercial space industry. Leonard, turning back to you, shortly after the Virgin Galactic accident in October, there was another failure on the East Coast, and that was the Antares rocket. Talk about that and these two things coming together so closely. Is that another concern about the future of this industry?
Well, it's a concern, but I think it's been addressed. And again, the people are looking into that failure. It was a cargo delivery to the space station, and I was sitting here watching. And in my life, I've seen things where I say to myself, "Well, that's not supposed to happen." It was again an accident. There was no crew on board, but certainly coming ahead of the Virgin Galactic incident, it does show that things can go wrong and people will dive in there and fix them. The company Orbital Sciences is hard at work now putting back their team and making adjustments in their whole vehicle. So, again, we'll see these kind of accidents, and unfortunately, we'll have to go through probably many more in the future. But safety is always a premium, and we want to make sure that it is as safe as possible. But, again, I echo what Stu said, with the certification, we'll see what the ripple effects are coming out of the NTSB will be. One hopes it's not crippling for a fledgling industry like we're seeing.
Well, again, Leonard David of Space.com and Stuart Witt, CEO of the Mojave Air and Spaceport in eastern Kern County, talking about the future of the commercial space industry in the county and in the country. Gentlemen, thanks to both of you for joining us.